ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 86 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra and Krishna blesses his devotees. Yes, two narrations in this chapter. This chapter describes how Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra and how Lord Krishna went to Mithila to bless his devotees, Bhavlashma and Shrutadev. When King Parikshit desired to learn about the marriage of his grandmother, Subhadra Devi, Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, while touring on pilgrimage, Arjuna heard that Lord Baladeva intended to give the hand of his sister, Subhadra, to Duryodhana in marriage. Wanting to kidnap Subhadra and marry her himself, Arjuna disguised himself as a renunciant and went to Dwaraka. So effective was the disguise that neither Balaram nor any other resident of Dwaraka recognized him. Rather, they all showed him the respect due a Vaishnava mendicant. In this way, the 4 months of the rainy season passed. One day, Arjuna received an invitation to dine at Lord Balaram's home. There he caught sight of Subhadra and was immediately overwhelmed with desire for her. Subhadra also desired to have Arjuna as her husband and thanked. Thus, she glanced back at him shyly. A few days later, Subhadra left the palace to participate in a chariot festival. Taking this opportunity, Arjuna abducted Subhadra and defeated the Yadavas who tried to stop him. Lord Balaram was at first greatly angered to hear of this, but when Lord Sri Krishna and other family members pacified him, he became joyful and sent the bride and groom off with elaborate wedding gifts. There was a Brahmana devotee of Sri Krishna's name Shrutadeva, who lived in the city of Mithila. By the will of providence, he could earn only barely enough to keep himself and his family alive. Still, he was always satisfied and spent all his time executing his religious duties. King Mahadashva was another great devotee of the Lord, residing in Mithila. A member of the dynasty in which King Janak had appeared, Bahulashra ruled over the whole province of Videha, yet he remained as detached from material wealth as Shrutadeva. Pleased with the devotional attitude of both these great souls, Lord Krishna went on his chariot to Mithila to visit them, taking along Narad and several other learned sages. The people of Mithila greeted the Lord and his saintly entourage with great delight. Bearing various gifts for Krishna, they bowed down and offered obeisances to both him and his sages. Bhavlashva and Shrutadeva both stepped forward and respectfully requested Sri Krishna to visit their home. Desired by both of them, the Lord expanded himself and went to each of their homes simultaneously. They each worshipped him suitably, offered prayers, washed his feet, and then sprinkled themselves and all their family members with the wash water. Lord Krishna then praised the sages who were with him and glorified Brahmanas in general. He also imparted instructions to his hosts concerning devotional service. Understanding these instructions, both Shrutadeva and Mahulashva honored the sages and Lord Sri Krishna with single-minded devotion. Lord Krishna then returned to Dwaraka. Text 1. Shri Rajavacha Brahman Veditam Ichhama Svasaram Ramakrishnayoho Yathopaye Me Vijayo Yamamasit Pitamahi
Yamamasit Pitamahi
Shri Rajavacha
Shri Rajavacha
Raman Veditam Ichhama.
Raman Veditam Ichhama.
Svasaram Ramakrishna Yoho.
Svasaram Ramakrishna Yoho.
Yathopayene Vijayo.
Yathopayene Vijayo.
Yamamasit Pitamahi.
Yamamasit Pitamahi.
Translation, King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, we would like to learn how Arjuna married Lord Balaram's and Lord Krishna's sister, who was my grandmother. Purport. Parikshit Maharaj turns now to the topic of the marriage of Lord Krishna's sister, Subhadra. In the opinion of Srila Sridhar Swami, King Parikshit's question here follows from the previous narration, because Arjuna's winning the hand of Subhadra was just as difficult a feat as Lord Krishna's retrieving the sons of Devaki from the realm of the dead, since Lord Balaram himself opposed Subhadra's marriage to Arjuna. Om Jnanati Nirandhasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshi Nivitam Yena Tasman Shri Gurudena Vandeham Shri Gurudashya Tathparakamam Shri Gurudunya Maishtaramsta Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vikam Kamsa Jivam Sadvaitam Sadaputam Gurudana Sahitam Krishna Titanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahadana Lalita Shiva Shakam Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now obviously these narrations of Krishna's pastimes, given here in the 10th canto, are not strictly in chronological order. Why is that obvious?
Well, you already heard about the Rajasuya when we had the meeting, which was even before the Rajasuya. So, it's obviously that one.
And prior to this was Krishna with Devaki, bringing back the sons and whatever. It would seem that Krishna was not so old and married and at this point, because Devaki wanted the boon from Krishna, having heard of Krishna, having got the son of his teacher back. But anyway, it does go back and forward like this, not strictly chronological. And the reason this narration follows one from the other is because the link between the difficult task that Krishna performed in bringing back his brothers, dead brothers, and then King Parikshit asked about the marriage of his grandmother, Subhadra. So it appears that within King Parikshit's mind, that the linking, he already knew, he must have heard this family history, he must have known something about it, to have understood that it was something very difficult about that. He wanted to hear more about it, even though Parikshit Maharaj, at the very beginning, Shukadeva Goswami warned him very seriously, when the first words that Shukadeva Goswami said to Parikshit Maharaj, Nidraya Hriyate Naktam Devayena Chavavayaha Dine Vibhah Chate Hayarajan Kutumba Bharanayama. And one of the several verses that Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj, warning him about household life. That materialistic people, they spend their days maintaining their family members, their nights engaged in sleeping, sense gratification. They're not interested in atmatattva, the science of the soul. So the very first thing that Shukadeva Goswami says is really making a strong case for not being involved in family life. which Pariksha Maharaj just left that. He left it physically, but the subtle bond still tied him. Even though someone may die, people still feel very close to them. If there's a strong relationship. Or if one may leave home with a firm resolve, I'm leaving home, and then just go back. Sometimes people may join the Hare Krishna movement with the firm resolve to dedicate their lives in Krishna's service. And they even go as far as taking initiation and taking vows. You have to practice strictly for some time to be allowed to take those vows, but then they go back. Because, why? Because, well, we can say Maya is so strong. Why is Maya so strong? Because our determination is not strong. Our resolve is not strong. How can our resolve become strong? Well, it needs constant bolstering, hearing the message of Bhagavatam again and again. We should hear these things again and again. So Pariksit Maharaj, he didn't, in the middle of the narration, get up and jump up and say, well, I just have a little family business to deal with, and come back, I'll see you later. He didn't do that. He went all the way through. He had firm faith in Krishna Katha, and he went on hearing. He wasn't disturbed at the thought of himself dying. But here he is inquiring about an affair which seems pretty mundane, actually. Arjuna is attracted. I mean, it is his grandmother and grandfather. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like the kind of topics that the topmost transcendentalist or any transcendentalist would discuss. Rather, it seems like the kind of topic that they shouldn't discuss. We shouldn't read in the newspaper how such and such a woman was abducted. And there was a family fight. Of course, nowadays the parents, they throw the girls on the street. Well, they don't have to throw them. They get themselves out on the street. That's the normal way of reproduction in this modern animalistic society. It just kind of happens. In the words of the great philosopher John Lennon, most children nowadays are born over a bottle of whiskey on Saturday night. An apt observation. So why discussing how Arjuna was attracted to Subhadra, who became attracted to him, and then they eloped, or rather, was practically equivalent to eloping, because Subhadra, she was into it too. She was kidnapped, but she wasn't protesting. She was happy to be kidnapped. Well, the reason is because they're not ordinary people. And to hear about Krishna and Balaram and Arjuna and Subhadra, that will purify us of the desire to engage in such activities ourselves. This is for Krishna. He is the one to enjoy women. And Arjuna, as a servant of Krishna, is also it appears to be in the mood of enjoyment, but we can understand all of this is arranged by Krishna's Lila Shakti, his choreographer, the orchestrator of his pastimes, his internal potency, which organizes everything. The various purposes are served from the marriage of Arjuna and Subhadra came who?
Oh.
You have to ask that. Well, now you got it. And who is this? Who is the son of Abhimanyu? Pariksit, who's asking the question. So everything Krishna does, even if it's for lila, even if it's for enjoyment, within this world that serves some function also. particularly his pastimes outside Vrindavan. Inside Vrindavan, the killing of the demons, it serves a function, but that's... Krishna in Vrindavan, he's not performing any functions for the maintenance of the universe. Outside Vrindavan, he does that. So, for the betterment of the human condition, or the condition of anyone in the world, everything Krishna does simultaneously gives him pleasure, gives pleasure to his devotees, and that in itself is conducive to the well-being of everyone in the universe, not just human society. But not only indirectly, but directly also, there's always something which is beneficial to human society. Now, it may appear that Arjuna in this affair had become a worldly enjoyer or was in a mood of lust, but that cannot be admitted. It's an impossibility that Arjuna is overcome by material lust when he is such a close associate of Krishna. And Krishna wouldn't allow him, what to speak of Balaram, Krishna wouldn't allow him to take his sister, nor could he even touch Subhadra Devi, if he was a close materialist. So we understand that the apparent master of Arjuna is impelled by the Lila Shakti, and everything is ultimately for the enjoyment of Krishna. Even though Balaram opposes, we find Krishna and Balaram, they are the same personality of Godhead. What is the difference between Krishna and Balaram? What does it say in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Yeah, you want to say?
Go ahead,
what he said. Alright, well, say it more. Yeah, Krishna is blackish and Balaram is white. That's what's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's the only difference. But we find that there are apparent differences between them also. I mean, especially this affair of Duryodhana. There's a name of Balaram, Duryodhana Guru. He's the guru of Duryodhana in conflict. It's also in Mithila. Was it Mithila or Kashi? He taught him in the club fighting. So he was there for 1 year. Was it not 1 year? He was there teaching Duryodhana how to fight. And Krishna didn't like Duryodhana at all. And it was a mutual dislike. Of course, intrinsically, Krishna likes everyone. Samoham sarva-bhuteshu. He's equal to all. But because Duryodhana was opposed to Krishna's and Krishna's devotees, therefore Krishna, he didn't like him. When it said that Krishna is equal to everyone, it means he gives them the same opportunity. Duryodhana, one day come into the court of Yudhishthira Maharaj or the court of Krishna, Ugrasena in Dwarka, and said that, well, I'm sorry, I was a jerk, but I'm not going to be anymore, I'm going to be a good boy. Then he would have been forgiven, but he didn't. So he wasn't forgiven. He was a demon. But somehow or other, Balaram had affection for him and wanted to give Subhadra in marriage to Duryodhana. It's similar to, Rukmini wanting to give Rukmini in marriage to Shishupal, who, despite his name, it's kind of a nice name. What does the name mean? Anyone? Apart from yourself. Shishu means?
Baby, spencer.
Baby. Yeah, like Gopal. Gopal means the protector of the cows, so Shishupal means one who protect or maintain. So it's more like maintain his trust. So it sounds like he's very nice, but he's not nice. So he was theoretically supposed to get married to Rukmini, but Krishna upset his plans. So here we find that Arjuna, he achieved a task as difficult, or maybe more difficult, than Lord Krishna did in bringing back the dead sons of Devaki, which is an impossible thing for anyone but the personality of Godhead. So Arjuna, he was able to perform a task as difficult. Only the Supreme Lord can do certain things. And on the other hand, if the Supreme Lord doesn't want one to do something, then you can't do it. It's something like the Rake Krishna, Marake, Marake Krishna, Rake. And Krishna protects someone, who can kill him? And if Krishna wants to kill you, who can protect you? So, if Krishna wants to do something, he can do it. He can bring the dead sons, Devaki, back. And if Lord Balaram, who is not different from Krishna, only in complexion, so it's all. If he doesn't want you to do something, then you can't do it. But he did. Arjuna didn't. It's maybe a more difficult task in some ways. He did it by the, again, Lila Shakti's organs, and ultimately Balaram was pleased. Because Balaram, even though he's the eldest son of the family, it seems like in the case of, just like Rukmini, whose father's name, and father of Bhishma, oh, sorry, Bhishma is the father of who? I just said it. Rukmini, and there are others also, Rukmavati, whole clan of Ruks, Rukmini, and something like that. So, it seemed that Rukmini he was a very powerful, headstrong son. And he, even though, Bhishma, who was the king of Vidarbha, he wanted to give his daughter to Krishna, but he was overruled by his son. And in this case, Ugrasena, it seems that even though he's a Kshatriya, he seems to be like somewhat a weak personality. It seems that it's mentioned in Chaitanya Mangalam. King Paurusha, do you know that verse? What manliness did Ugrasena have? And there's a whole, and then what culture, I can't remember exactly, what culture did the monkeys have? But they all, it gives a list of different devotees and their lack of qualities. But they're all very dear to Krishna. By bhakti, they were very dear to Krishna, not because of their worldly qualities. So Balaram seems to be like the chief mover in the family. He's the eldest son, and he's taking charge of the affairs. So he was arranging the marriage. But Arjuna had another plan, and Krishna went along with them, because Krishna didn't. There was some difference of opinion between Krishna and Balaram, and even though Balaram is the head of the family, but at the same time, he always wanted to do what was pleasing to Krishna. So, these are extremely elevated topics, because we're discussing the psychology and sociology of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why does he do certain things? It's very difficult to enter into if one, first of all, one has to have a complete faith that he is the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the tendency to think of them as material is inevitable. Complete faith in them as the Supreme Lord, despite their apparently worldly foibles. You know what foible means? means a kind of weakness. Is that right? It's kind of a weak defect due to weakness, we can say. It's not something very serious, and it may mean someone's personal idiosyncrasy. But it's just like someone may have to put up, you know, okay, it's my brother, but you know, he has this habit of poking me in the ribs time to time. I don't like it, but okay. Everyone's got something. So it's a human weakness. So it may seem that in the character of the Supreme Lord, there's also human weakness or human-like tendencies. That person was just saying that. Kṛtavān kila kārmāni saharāmena kīśvara atimārtyāni bhagavān. What's the last line? Guha kapata manushaha. This Krishna and Balaram appeared to be like ordinary human beings, and so masked they performed many superhuman acts. Or they're always superhuman. They're always ati martya. They're not subject to death. They're above the platform of ordinary human beings. So unless one has firm conviction of this, that not only are Krishna Balaram the Supreme Lord, but how they are the Supreme Lord, and how their Leela Shakti works to make them, just like Balaram, he couldn't recognize Arjuna. Arjuna fooled him. He came in with the idea to fool Balaram and everyone else, and he did it. He made a fool out of Balaram, actually. Because Balaram and others were treating him very nicely, treating him with the respect of a sannyasi, and then one fine day they just found this sannyasi running off on a chariot with their sister, which is a tremendous insult to a kshatriya family. And, you know, he pulled the wool over their eyes. And he tricked them and made them look like a bunch of fools, actually, if you think about it. So it may seem that if we read books written by or listen to people who don't have a great reverence for Krishna and a deep understanding of his Leela Shakti, then we'll interpret it like that. And even then, persons may be devotees of sorts, but the way they talk or write, it's as if they're seeing Krishna and Balaram as ordinary human beings, which is all right for those who are actually on that level. The persons who have entered into the Leela, then they may talk like that, just like we find that the gopis, they accuse Krishna of being a cheater, for instance. Kitana Yoshi, the cheater of women, the gopis accuse Krishna. And they're not thinking of it very philosophically, you would say. They're thinking, we're women, and he's cheated us. He enjoyed us, and then he left us. We gave our hearts to him, we gave up all our social duties, all our social respectability, we gave up everything for Krishna, and then he just gave us up without any warning. So he's simply a cheater. And they're thinking like that. Of course, they also, in one sense, they also understand that he's the Supreme Lord. What is that? Nakalu gopika nandano bhavan. What's the next one? Akala Dehinam Antarava. Yeah, they're saying that you're not just some cowherd boy, the son of Mother Yashoda, but actually you're the Supreme Lord in everyone's heart. You got a little philosophical. But as far as they're concerned, he's just a cheater. Now, how can you say that? How can you say he's the Supreme Lord and then just say, well, you're just cheating women? So You're just a cheat and everyone else. It's like the ultimate, it would sound like the ultimate atheist. So if one's actually on that platform, to talk in that way is very appropriate. For others, who are not fully on that platform, or if we're discussing in the company of others who are not fully on that platform, then we always need reminder. Actually, these are the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. We shouldn't be taken as the activities of ordinary people. And we find that in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. He always refers to, again and again, refers to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he establishes that again and again in his explanations. And even within the text of the Bhagavatam itself, we find that even in the 10th canto, which is purely Krishna's transcendental pastime, as Srila Prabhupada often used that adjective, transcendental, to remind us. You'll find that right within the text, there's a lot of philosophical explanation of what's going on. Parikshit Maharaj himself inquired from Shukadeva Goswami for the benefit of others. Parikshit Maharaj inquired, how is it that Krishna, who is, he came to this world to establish moral principles, that he's dancing with other people's wives. So this should always be understood from the platform of Leela. We can begin to understand it when we understand that we can't understand it by any other means but full surrender to Krishna, full service attitude. Even then it won't be understandable. This is beyond logic, because when one understands it, one enters into it. And then when one enters into the pastimes, and you wonder, why is Krishna supporting Arjuna against Balaram? Arjuna is clearly in the wrong here. He's acting beyond his station. What are they doing? How can he treat us like this? I mean, we're always very friendly to his family, and then he does this whole charade just to cheat us. So, others may have been thinking like this also. So ultimately, these pastimes, they are to be relished by pure devotees, those who are not fully pure devotees, but aspire to be pure devotees, which is what we're all supposed to be. Then we also relish these, but with caution also. Caution means with a philosophical understanding, we find that Srila Prabhupada, when he recounted the pastime, that's what I'm saying, in the Krishna book, you recounted the pastimes, but with plentiful philosophical explanations, so that we don't get bewildered into thinking that Krishna is an ordinary person, or we don't get bewildered into thinking that we are extraordinary persons who can just take a pole vault into Krishna Leela, leaving me jumping over all kinds of philosophical explanations. Alright, that's all I'm going to say now. If there are any comments, questions, or anything else, please say.
Yes, well, just this aspect of follow-along, the fact that we started by explaining, yes, there's something different between me.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you have the fact, not only here, but also even more surprisingly to me, during the Brahman Mohan Leela, when Krishna was, the calves and the boys were gone, Paul didn't know what was going on. It says right in the text there.
Yeah,
after
yeah.
a whole year, he finally figured it out, Krishna told him. So how is that? Why didn't he know? You know, why doesn't he know? Why doesn't he know that?
I have a suggestion for, as you're broadcasting this, that you could have a cordless mic. Yeah, so that the question for the benefit of all the millions of viewers
out there. Not benefit.
the question is, why is it that we find again in Krishna's childhood pastime, so in the pastime of the Brahma Vimohana Lila, that Balaram, after one whole year of Krishna taking the forms of the cowherd boys and the calves, Balaram worked it out that these are actually Vishnu forms, which are not different from him. So how is that? Well, then we should call it the Balaram Vimohana Lila. Krishna is himself bewildered by his own Lila Shakti for the sake of enjoyment, for the sake of Lila. So it's certainly wonderful that Krishna, who is the supreme, all of Krishna's parties, Vrindavan pastimes are most pleasing because Krishna himself becomes subservient to the love of his devotees, and actually his knowledge, he's full and complete, and he's always in full knowledge that he's the supreme Lord, and that becomes overwhelmed by his love for his devotees. So the knowledge that I am the son of Mother Yashoda, that overwhelms his knowledge of being I am the Lord of all living beings. Although Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments that Krishna in Vrindavan simultaneously knows that he's the supreme Lord and doesn't know. So take that back to your logic. Logical stance. Well, there's a verse for everything. Achintya kalu yibhava natans tarkena yojayat prakritivya parangyashta tat achintyasya lakshana. Which more or less this verse says, that which is inconceivable cannot be understood by the mind. Which, that's what inconceivable means. So, don't even try to bother. Krishna's energies are inconceivable, and so don't bother trying to conceive of them. And to some extent we can. But Jiva Goswami, he also states the knowledge of God begins with accepting his inconceivable potencies. If we don't accept that he's got inconceivable potencies, then what kind of God is it? It's the kind of God is that the Hare Krishna talks about. God is supposed to be all good and all powerful. So why have I got a toothache? Because I'm good and I love God. So God should lend my toothache. What to speak of good people being run over in the street and killed? They're good people. So the philosophical conclusion of the great rabbi Hare Krishna is that God, he's a nice guy, but he's not really in control of everything. He kind of lost control at some point. And
he's so, doing the best he can.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, and he's like an old grandfather in the sky smoking a pipe, and he's doing his best, but he's not really in control. Which is a rascal theory, actually, because the real position is, Purusha Sukha Dukkhanam Bhoktrivehi Tumuchyate. We are the cause of our own suffering, not God. Not Satan either, this weird thing invented maybe by the Zoroastrians and imported into Christianity, that there's a competitor to God, which, in the opinion of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which means it's a fact, it's verges on atheism to say that there's a competitor to God. That God's struggling with the forces of evil, and he's really having a hard time. Satan looks like he's getting on top. Satan's more or less controlling this world. But don't worry, God came down and then they killed him. God was dead for 3 days. And then you can be saved from Satan. It's bizarre. The whole thing is totally bizarre. He's talking about cults and weird beliefs. So this is not Bhagavad Tattva Vijnana. What is going on in the name of religion in the world? There's no scientific knowledge of God. Even we're discussing this inconceivability, and people may say, well, that's just a cop-out. But it's not. It's delineation of the basic or the most intrinsic quality of God is that we can't understand it. We only understand it to the extent that He allows us to understand it. So even in what they call science, that's also there. Inconceivable. They've been struggling, trying to conceive of it for the last 100 years or so. And they didn't really get anywhere.
They're falling back. And the collider maybe isn't dealt with.
So, we have a very sound philosophical basis. Very sound. Because it's the truth. Why then? Now that may say dogmatic. Well, we'll explain what. But it also requires, of course, purification to understand that. Yeah, anything else? I'm sure, yeah.
It's just interesting how Krishna's lila shakti also resolved this dilemma. Krishna's rasa dance that he's running after other men's wife, but actually in this same Brahma Vimoha lila that marriage takes place, Krishna actually marrying all the gopis.
Oh yeah, right. And that's interesting, yeah, yeah. When Krishna took the form of all the cowherd boys, he married all the gopis. So, he was their husband.
Alright. Who said that?
I think the Bhagavatam. It's not in the Bhagavatam. It's in the,
Just a lecture,
I don't
know. Oh, it's the lecture.
No, but I also can't. It's in the Acharya's writings. I can't say exactly. Now you have to look it up and find it. You put yourself on the spot there. Yeah. It is in, I've also heard that. I can't say exactly where, but it's in the Acharya's writings. Maybe Jiva would seem most likely to be Jiva. Okay. Well, it's up to you. You have to find it out now.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're going to say Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki jai or Balaram ki jai? Both. Krishna Balaram ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Whose side are we on? Who's on Balaram? Well, Arjuna Thakur says, I'm always on Balaram.